And now if you would, turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. It's found on page 685 in your pew Bibles. That's Matthew 6, starting at 25. It begins, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And thank you for the word that you've given us. In your name, amen.
Thank you, fellas, for that song of encouragement. The storm will pass. God will win. He's got everything under control. Now, if he can get us under control, he'll have it made, won't he? But he has all things in his hand and in his time. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask that you'd please open up once again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of anxiety. As I was preparing for this particular message, I wanted to get a good definition of what anxiety is. And I found this particular definition out of the American Heritage Dictionary. And the dictionary says this: "It's a state of intense apprehension, uncertainty, and fear resulting from the anticipation of a threatening event or situation, often to a degree that normal physical and psychological function of the affected individual is disrupted." You know, that's a long definition, but basically what it means is an individual is so apprehensive about events and things that they become paralyzed with fear. They become paralyzed with fear. And that produces, you see, in an individual this sense of anxiety. And we see it happening in a lot of ways in the modern day world. We see it happening in our country when it comes to the future of what the future holds for our nation. You know, you can hear all of the negative press and everything that was going on. I just read this week that, and this comes from one of the scaremongers, that the United States of America is being written out, and that in that process of writing out the United States of America, that our whole financial world is going to collapse, our whole spiritual world is going to collapse, and that the overrunning of our country is going to be so severe that there will not be a note left in history of the existence of the United States. The solution? Tell the world we're sorry. Wonder where that came from. But as we read those kinds of things, people literally become paralyzed with fear. What's going to happen? And if we listen to the political climate of what's going on, and by the way, the 2012 elections have already started. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But already the campaigning's going on, and I haven't quite gotten over the last one yet. But, you know, pretty soon we'll be looking at 216. But it's just amazing to me that we find ourselves in a perpetual political campaign. And in the process, the work of God is not getting accomplished. And so there are a lot of people who are paralyzed with fear. And a lot of the fear mongers who are really pushing to heighten fear so that they can have the advantage. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, that is exactly how the Antichrist will come to power and how he will come to authority. There will be such a pushing of fear that he will step forward saying, I have the solutions. And in the process of that, gain many, many followers. Jesus understood this. And he understood that the people that he was ministering to were going to find themselves in life in very difficult situations. And as he is preaching, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and as he is delivering this amazing message, he deals with the issue of anxiety. And if we will just simply pay attention to what he has to tell us here, we will come to the conclusion that faith overcomes anxiety. But that faith, ladies and gentlemen, has got to be placed in the right person. The right person to place our faith in is in Jesus Christ. Man will always disappoint us. No matter how sincere, man will always disappoint us. Disappoint us. Jesus never disappoints. And he has the solution for this subject of anxiety. I just kind of want to cover with you just basically five little things to remember about true faith and in Jesus and why this is important. All right? First of all, we can have faith in that will overcome anxiety if we understand who Jesus is. Secondly, if we look at what Jesus said. Third, if we realize what Jesus did. Four, what Jesus is. Not who, what Jesus is. And then number five, what Jesus will do. And so let's look at these particular elements of faith that are going to be able to help us to overcome the anxieties of life. And you may be anxious for a lot of things. Maybe you're anxious in regards to your job. Maybe you're anxious in regards to your family. You know, it's a frightening age to raise children. And perhaps you're frightened and anxious about raising your kids. and seeing that they are taught the right principles and the right areas of life. You know, there's all kinds of areas where we can have anxiety. Sometimes it becomes anxieties in regards to our health or the health of our loved ones. But there's all types of anxieties. But faith in Jesus Christ will get us through any anxiety that we face if our faith is in the right place. Let's look at these particular elements. True faith entails a conviction or a trust in who Jesus is. I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 16, the 16th verse. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Just so that you get the background, we're going to begin at 13, but I want you to notice verse 16. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You see, Jesus had a firm conviction, rightfully so, as to who he was. He had a firm conviction to the purpose of why he was here. He fully understood what his role was going to be in not just the history of that 33 years where he existed here as man, but he understood his role from before the world was ever formed. And the fact that he will forever survive as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. You see, Jesus is God. That's who he is. He has always existed, and he always will exist. Can I share something with you? I don't quite understand that. My mind cannot wrap around a God who was not created, but who has always existed. My mind says, everyone has a start. Because that's my experience in life. Faith says, I believe that God has always existed and that he always will. Faith says, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Faith says, you are the Christ, the perfect sacrifice for mankind. Sometimes we must trust by simple faith, even if we can't grasp with our minds what is what. But you know, that doesn't scare me that I can't possibly comprehend the eternal nature of God. Because between you, me, and the fence post, I don't understand the atom. But I don't question its existence. I don't understand the air. But I don't question its existence. And so when it comes to the issue of faith in Jesus Christ, I don't understand that God has always been. But my faith says that's reality. And that is truth. And I won't question it. God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. If I want to overcome anxiety in my life, I must place complete faith and confidence in the fact that Jesus is God. It amazes me when you do a comparative study, the number of people and the increasing number of people who commit suicide. And this is a growing problem. And you know, in almost every case that you study, you can find out that there was a weakness in their faith. A weakness in our faith produces hopelessness. Hopelessness looks for an escape from the issues of life. Faith in Jesus Christ and in the absolute truth of who He is gives us hope. And the hope that He gives us produces life. And that life is everlasting. Do I fully understand that? No. But I have faith that says God is not a liar. Someday I'll understand it. Paul tells us that. When he said, for someday I will know even as I am now known, for I shall see Him face to face. Someday I'll know even as I am fully known. But that won't be while I'm walking around in skin and bones. It's going to be when I'm in the presence, face to face, with my Lord and Savior. Have faith in Jesus Christ, for He is the victory over anxiety. The second thing is that we can have victory over anxiety because of what Jesus said. Because of what He said. He speaks that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father but through Him. So He is the way. And He even went so far as to say, I and the Father are one. And identified Himself as God. If you have seen Me, He said, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. We are one in our purpose. We are one in our program. We are one in our love. We are one in our passion for sinful mankind. We are one. And so who is Jesus? Well, He declares Himself to be God. Before Abraham ever existed, I am. In other words, I have always been. Before the world was formed, I am. You see, resting in the I ams of Christ gives us complete confidence because He demonstrated everything that He declared. When He said, I am the resurrection and the life, how did He prove that? Through the resurrection and through life. We can trust what Jesus said because everything that He declared came true. He did not bear a false witness, but His witness was truth. Christ can be trusted. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Number three, we can have freedom from our anxiety because of what Jesus did. What did He do? First of all, He died on the cross for our sins. He was perfect. He had never sinned, and yet He took on every sin that you have ever committed. Every sin that I have ever committed. Now, I want you to think about that a minute and just take a moment and look around the room. This is a dangerous thing. Take a moment, look around the room. Come on. That's a passel of sin, folks. All right? Because every one of us in this room has committed sin. And not once, but many times. And Jesus took every one of those sins on, and He won victory over them. Now, when we look inside this congregation, how many are here, Tom? 128? That's all. Okay, you counted twice. Okay, there's 128 people here. Now, I want you to consider all of that sin that Jesus died for. And what is that on the scale of every sin that every individual has ever committed or ever will commit in all of history? We can't possibly calculate that, can we? But you see, that's who Jesus died for. He died for everyone who ever lived. And if we will just simply place our faith in Him and our trust in Him, repent of our sins, and receive Him as our Savior, He will set us free from the power and the penalty of our sin. That's what He's done. He took on every sin that every individual will ever commit, and He won. And He offers then life to everyone who will come to Him and will receive His forgiveness. He doesn't forgive us in advance. He forgives us when we repent and when we come into His presence. So repentance is essential if we are to have life. What did Jesus do? He died for all of us that we might be able to have life. That's what Jesus did. Number four, we can have victory over anxiety because of what Jesus is doing. Because of what Jesus is doing. John chapter 14, verse 2 tells us that He's preparing a place for us. He is preparing a place for every one of us who will come to Him. It's a promised home for eternity. He has promised supplying us everything that we'll ever need, not just for existence forever, but for life forever. To be able to live in a place of joy and comfort and peace and grace. To forever be able to have comfort and strength. And not only is He involved in this ministry of preparing a place for you and I, but He is even now interceding for us. He is praying for you and I. Do you remember the resurrection has happened? And maybe I've got these facts wrong. Check it out. But Jesus is talking with Peter. And He says, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. And then He makes this statement, but I have prayed for you. You see, Jesus is our intercessor. He forever pleads on our behalf with the Father. We are the center of His passion for life. He loves us that deeply. He ever intercedes on our behalf. Continually before the Father, night and day. See, Jesus doesn't have to rest now. He doesn't need to go into the belly of the boat and catch some sleep. Sleep is not a part of His existence. He neither sleeps nor slumbers, according to the book of Psalms. Because He is God, He ever continually intercedes for you and I. So He's preparing our place, and He is praying for our problems. With that kind of support and that kind of encouragement, we don't need to be concerned about what we wear, the clothes on our back, the food for our bellies. He'll take care of all things. He's an amazing God. And we should be amazing children. And then finally, we can have victory over anxiety because of what Jesus will do. He didn't lie when He said that He was going to be crucified. He didn't lie when He said, but don't fear, for in 3 days I'll rise from the dead. He didn't lie when He said, you guys go to Jerusalem and wait, and while you wait, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. He didn't lie when He promised that He would be with us even at the moment of death, and we have many examples of that. When you look at, well, look at the very first martyr in the Scriptures, a guy named Stephen. As the stones began to fall to destroy his physical life, he looked up and he said, I see the Son of God on the right hand of the Father. Jesus was there with him. You see, He didn't lie about any of that stuff. So why would we think He's lying when He says, I will come again and take you to be with Me? He's not lying. He's going to come back. And as he does, that's one more prophecy that will be fulfilled by him. What will Jesus do? He'll come back again, just as he declared he would. And he will receive us unto himself exactly as he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. We can trust that, because everything else he ever declared came true. He is God. You see, that kind of faith is what's going to be essential in the closing days of this world. If we don't have faith in Christ, totally and completely, we'll be filled with anxiety. And that anxiety is a worry that demonstrates a lack of faith. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about as he looks at Matthew chapter 6, as he says these particular words. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, being filled with anxiety, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? None of you. And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What makes you anxious? What paralyzes you with fear? Why not give it over to God? He knows what you need. He has everything that is essential for you, not just to live, but to have life. He knows everything. Everything that you need, and has everything that you need to fill you with all joy and peace, even in the midst of a world that's filled with war. Give it all to him. Let his peace fill your hearts with joy. Let's stand. I want to have a closing word of prayer this morning for all of us as a congregation. I want to make sure that we ask God as a congregation to take away our anxieties and to replace every anxiety we have with Himself, so that we have hope and confidence in Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank You. Thank You for the precious promises of Your Word. Thank You for Your Son Jesus, and for Your sending Him that we might have life, and that, Lord, that we might have it abundantly. Thank You for being willing to take on our fears and our anxieties, and to replace those with Your joy and Your grace. Now, Father, may You guide us and direct us. And if there's anyone here today who is paralyzed with fear, Lord, throughout this day, show them that You have all things in control. Show them that all things are working together for their good and for Your glory. And that in Your calling them, You are not just calling them to escape sin and to escape judgment, but that You are calling them to be people filled with joy and grace, to be people filled with hope and optimism. You are calling them to life abundant in You. Now, Father, again, we love You, we thank You for Your love for us, and we give You praise for all that You do, for it's in Your awesome and holy name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to ask you to please give us a moment to get to the back so we can greet you, and have a great week in the Lord this week.